Your appointment finished up as a driver in the transport.
Yeah.
Oh, where were you driving to?
Well, you were driving around the country, Dublin.
Yeah.
Delivering, as I say, we'd be bringing loads of export paper down to the docks and unloading down there. And we used to unload by hand as well, you know, like rolls of paper and parcels of paper. And we'd also, we'd go to Limerick, Cork, Kerry, everywhere.
Would you?
North of Ireland. We used to deliver bags to the cement works in Larne, yeah. The north of Ireland.
Yeah.
Sometimes you go to Larne 3 days a week.
And but when you were going down south to Kerry,
yeah, Kerry and that, yeah.
What were you delivering in Kerry?
We were delivering all sorts of paper, but we went for a while into newsprint, and we used to deliver quite a lot to the Cork Examiner. A lot of paper, rolls of newsprint.
Did you deliver print paper to the Kerryman in newspaper?
Yes, I did. Yeah, when they took over Drimnagh, there was a Michael Dunleavy, who was he became a sort of an agent for Clondalkin down in Cork, and it got that we just delivered to him. Whereas before that, when we were doing printing paper and all that type of stuff, we deliver house to house, small printers, maybe 10 parcels or, you know, like, as well as the bigger ones, like Guy's of Cork. We deliver to them, Musgraves, you know, here's the thing. And we bring down paper for Duns. And he'd make the bags in Cork and send them back up to Dublin. The paper would go down and come back as bags, you know. But we deliver Dunn's paper. I think it was Guy's used to do the...
Yeah.
To make the bags.
And who were you meeting? I mean, did you get to know these people that you were delivering the paper to?
Oh, very much so.
Okay, so who did you know in Kerry then, for example? No, it's okay. Come on in. I'll pause and edit that. Okay. Who you knew in Kerry?
Well, Kerry. See the way it was in Kerry. we used to go to someone in Tralee, but in Kerry we had to go to the Kerry man. But. That was our main guy in Kerry, really. There was we used to go into where the cattle mart was. Is that still there? I don't know.
But they used to, the
back of it for deliveries and all used to come into the mart.
Did you? Yeah.
But that's the way we used to have to go in to deliver paper. Do you know, and when the mart to be on, it was deadly, absolutely deadly, like trying to get in, and the whole place be blocked up. But the only man I do remember the name of, Mick Dunleavy, he was there. He was our agent in Cork, you know. But and it got that, as I say, where we used to go around to an awful lot of small. Printers and all that. That was all done away with. We used to bring a lorry load of stuff down to him. And it was all forklifts and all that. He'd just lift them off. And yeah. He got modernised as well, you know.
Oh, what kind of a truck were you driving at the beginning?
It was a Ford. Well, when we used to do the bags and that up to the north, we had a Leyland. Leyland steer. And a Leyland octopus after that. And then we had a Dodge. And our latest trucks were Ford. Mm-hmm. Ford trucks.
But the early ones, they didn't have any heating system in there.
No. That's one thing that we used to actually sometimes get paper paper is a great heating paper, put it around your legs and all that. Like going long journeys without the heating. But then, in fairness to the job, they rectified all that eventually. But then the trucks came equipped with all them things eventually. But in the early days, you hadn't.
What colour was the truck painted? Can you remember?
Blue.
Blue,
yeah.
And what was written across it?
The dog and paper mills on the top.
Yes, on the top.
Yeah, yeah. So
they stood out when they...
Oh, we had a good reputation going around places, you know, like... Because we were always very helpful. In our deliveries, and some places weren't the best at trying to deliver stuff because you'd have to nearly clear a load of stuff out of your way to put your own stuff in, you know, that way.
And would you have a helper with you in the cab?
Yes, you'd have one person with you.
And who was helping you?
Oh, Francie Boland.
Yeah. Oh, were these lads local in Clondalkin?
Oh, they were, yes. No, they lived in Clondalkin, actually.
Yeah.
Most people live local, you know. You wouldn't, some of them lived up Talla direction or Bourne Abrina, which is reasonably local, you know, like it's, a lot of people, gave a lot of employment from the Clondalkin area, you know. In general, you know.
And how bad were the roads in those days?
Ah, they were... We thought a lot of roads was all right, but when considering what you have now, you know, there was... some parts of the road were dangerous, really dangerous, because if you they were narrow, and if you left the road a bit at all, it would pull your truck into the ditch, you know, that sort of way. So... The roads improved an awful lot, actually. But
what road did you dread going on more than any other road?
Well, the most twisty road, I think, at the time was Waterford. Going to Waterford.
From Dublin to Waterford?
Yeah, from Dublin to Waterford. It's twists and turns and, you know, all that type of thing. Whereas, going to a Cork or Limerick, You had bigger stretches of, you know, and I suppose the least problematic road was the Galway. But then there was a part of that road too was narrow and, you know, and you had to be very careful on them.
And were there boarding houses you'd stay in?
We never stayed. That's one thing. I mean, we always come home.
No matter how late it was or how long.
As a rule, yes.
And would you be driving then for many hours?
We ended up with the new regulations and all that you had to have two drivers.
Yeah. But in your day time, would you have driven for more than seven or eight hours?
Oh, would, yeah. You would, yeah, without a doubt. But you're sort of used to it, you know.
Yes.
You drive down to Tralee or Cork and drive back, you know.
Yeah.
But then that was all done away with, in as much as the regulations, you're supposed to have a break every 4 hours. These are all the new regulations. Now, I often wondered, I'd say a hell of a lot of people didn't adhere to all that. Do you know, those guys.
And did it affect you when you were driving for more than 8 or 9 hours?
It all depends. If you didn't get your sleep, or if you were acting the linnet, we say, having a few drinks the day before and all that, is bound to affect you, you know.
Yeah. Who was head of transport when you were there?
Nolan. Mr. Nolan, he was... He was put over transport. He was an ex-army man. He was an ex-officer in the army. And he ended up over there. And then a Cork lad, Danny Corton, he was given a job. And before Nolan, Mr. Mulva. Mulva was a dame. He was the first man when I went in there first.
Yeah.
it was him. He was sort of looked after, not directly but indirectly. But they hadn't at that time a transport manager, which they eventually did. They put in a transport manager specifically to look after the transport in general. Do you know?
Was there a big fleet of trucks?
We had 3 trucks and a van.
And that was the extent of it?
That was more, yeah. Well, it was enough in as much as they used to use a lot of hackers. Hired trucks.
Oh, yeah.
For deliveries, you know. And they were there constant.
Yeah.
So they kept it at that. I don't know why they never decided to extend their own trucks. But strangely enough, most people, they want to get that out of their way. Most firms, they use the hire trucks. That puts the onus on the hire people to make sure they look after things.
And I'm sure there were peaks, you know, where you'd be really busy
and
you'd be out there all the time.
Well, that's the way it was. When we were doing the newsprint for the Cork Examiner, that used to be a very busy time because the machines would stay on the newsprint for a while. And when you go to Cork, you might load up the next morning and go to Cork again. Where normally we'd go to Cork a bit early in the day, we'd load up and go again. Maybe that you go to 3 or 4 times in the 1 week in that situation, you know. But otherwise, there was usually a break in between. You wouldn't be, if you were, we say for argument's sake, you went to the like a Kerry or Cork one day, the next day, it might be Limerick or Waterford, somewhere nearer.
Yeah. So you would have travelled all around the country.
Oh, size, definitely. Yeah.
Every county nearly, would
well,
you?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. But like every direction.
Yeah.
North, south, east and west, you know. Galway.
Yeah.
Galway, Donegal.
And you'd know all the customers. You'd know the people who were getting lots of
oh, you would.
Supply.
Oh, yes.
So let's go through them. The print paper was the biggest one, was it?
Not really. We initially, you see, they took over some years ago. They took over Drumna paper mills, and they actually bought a machine. A second-hand machine, which they named Number 3 machine, and erected it in Clondalkin, and moved the Drumna paper mills up to
Clondalkin,
yeah. And on this machine,
yeah,
they they had a bag factory, a bit of a bag factory in Drumna. And that was switched to Killeen paper mills. And the rest of it was brought up. So that's when a lot of these smaller printing customers came on the scene. And there was a paper we used to do, and it was very, very, very well done. And the record was one of the best available. Used for wax paper. It was a base for wax, you know, like the wax you see wrapping around sliced pans and all that. Well, we used to make the base for that. And the customers went mad for that.
So you had Brennan's bread and you had
all that type of stuff. No, we hadn't got it. We just made the base of the paper for that.
Of course, yeah. And that was your biggest customer, was it? The people
we did an awful lot of export.
Yeah.
We did a fair amount, and we did a lot of envelope paper.
Yeah.
Manila.
Yeah, when you think of all the handwritten letters.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, imagine that. Vanilla, is that what it was called?
Manila.
Manila.
Yeah. Manila. You know, that's a, you see, they make an awful lot of envelopes out of it.
Yeah.
Do you know? And, like, that was... when they took over Drimla, that sort of spread the skill, if you like, on the various types of paper.
Okay.
That you were doing, you know?
And so there was an amount of small customers, and then you had the bigger customers,
that's
as
right,
you say,
that's right.
The Musgraves and that you delivered, big packaging. And And then down to the docks and...
The docks was a regular. There was a lot of stuff, a lot of export, you know. But I don't know why the like of Dundalk and Milk closed, you know. I think they reckon they were able to import the paper cheaper than they were
exporting it. Yeah.
It looks that way, you know, and they just went into that, yeah. You know. And they also, they formed a group. Bailey, Stone and Gibson's and all was part of the group. And they were paper converters rather than paper makers, you know. They made bags and they done various things, you know. And... I say that was the story. It was just that it was cheaper to close the place than to make it. It's an awful pity because it was a great skill, you know.
How long did you stay with them?
I was 29 years there.
Yeah. What did you do in the end?
The transport, we were the last to go. You know, when they were closing, because it was they had to clear a lot of stuff that was, you know, to be delivered. So that's just the way it went. We were just sort of one of the last there, and that's the way it went.
The machinery and all the, I suppose, the paper that was left there, that was just sold off. And was it your job then to deliver that who bought it? Who bought the...
In some cases, when they knew they were closing, they sent a few load down to Cork. So Mick Dunley, as I say, became an agent with a printer paper and all.
Yeah.
And there was a guy there. See, they reopened. This was the thing now. When they closed initially, it was a well-documented thing. But when they closed the second time, it happened all of a sudden.
Why do you think it happened?
The old money, and they weren't successful.
So did you clean it out the second time then? The end of the second period when it closed down for good.
More or less, we tried to. These guys come in one day and just said, "Drop everything."
Yeah.
They went into the office, no matter what was on the desks, what the people were doing, and that's it. You're finished, you know. Yeah. Some people, they couldn't even get stuff that was their own.
Away.
Then the office, they were just told to quit and get out, you know. That was it.
And the doors were closed?
More or less, yeah. Finished, out.
Go away.
Yeah.
And who told you, can you recall who it was that gave the orders?
Oh, I don't know. There was some crowd that, you know, some... I don't know who they were, but obviously, I don't know who now would have brought them in.
Yeah. And did you pack your bags then and just go?
Oh, well, we hadn't much. We were standing outside looking at this, and we had no, we'd no say in it whatsoever. You know, well, we weren't as bad as that, though. You know, it wasn't quite. But the people that were up in the offices, they were just walking away, and next thing they were told to stop. It doesn't matter what the hell was there. That was leave it there. That's great. Yeah, out.
Did you get redundancy or?
Yeah, there was a redundancy. Yeah, it wasn't great.
Yeah,
there was a redundancy package, but it wasn't a hell of a lot, really.
And what did you finally go on to do then afterwards?
I went out to work, and I ended up with a very good job, and it was one of the best things ever happened to me in the Hilda Hunt.
Tell me what was it?
I got a job in Lido Studios. They were here on Coilmore Road. And they were used to supply do work for the printing trade, get stuff ready for them. And I was in a part time sort of, because we were trying to get the mill reopened. This was the initial closure now. And eventually, when they were reopening, I had to leave that job. But they were looking for somebody when the mill closed the second time.
And you were back in again. Where was this now? It was a studio. Is it a recording studio?
No, it wasn't a recording studio. The studios, they just did graphics, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Geographic.
Yes, yeah.
You know, they got stuff ready for the printers. Such as
design and
design, like your Irish rolls and.
And what were you doing there?
I was looking after what they call the archives.
Oh, and putting them all in.
When I was, I organised all that in. I had my own apartment, the department there.
Yeah.
And it was great. the boss and all was, you know, was. It was a grand job.
A whole new life.
Exactly. Way, yeah. And it was
yeah.
Sad to finish it. You know, I finished there near 70 when I finished.
Why? And you were telling me you met your wife in Roundtrees when you were...
Roundtrees, that's right, yeah.
Oh, what's your wife's maiden name?
McGovern. Sarah McGovern.
And where is she from?
She's from Drimna.
Oh, right. So you didn't have far to go then?
No. She hadn't. And she was, our people and all were from around the one area. So, like, you know, they never, we were all sort of local, if you like.
Liam Stone, thank you for talking to me. That's a good story now. Thanks.
Sorry I couldn't give you more information.
No, it's brilliant. Thanks.
Thanks very much.